Well, good morning. This morning we're going to be in Nehemiah 8, 2 Timothy 3. We're going to be looking at a lot of scripture this morning. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to those passages. Yesterday, we drove home from Missouri, and we found ourselves, after the first hour of that drive, Kaylee and I were deep in conversation. The kids were listening to a podcast. And a little bit into this conversation, we realized that Sable was patiently waiting for her chance to ask a question. So towards the end of this conversation, we asked Sable what her question was, and she led in with this: why do you and Dad have to talk so much? Now, Kaylee's response was this: it's because we love to talk to one another. In fact, 10 years ago to this week was the time that we began talking for the first time. We had our first conversation through text message. And there's that little flutter of the heart every time that notification comes in with Kaylee's name on it. And then a little bit later, we had our first Skype date. That's right, Skype, not Zoom. We stayed up for 6 hours talking on Skype that night until it was like 4 a.m. in the morning, and I had to wake up in 2 hours to go teach high schoolers that next day, or I guess that same day. Then later that month, we had our first in-person date. We drove to meet each other in Oklahoma City, and we spent the whole day together. In fact, we got so caught up in conversation that neither of us wanted to leave. I was a debate coach for the high school at that time, and on that Saturday morning, that very next day, I had to be at the school at 7 a.m. to take like 50 freshmen to a school competition. And so we started gauging the time on how I could stay up and have this conversation with Kaylee in the Botanical Garden parking lot at Oklahoma City, and gauge the time where it would take me 4.5 hours to get home, get dressed for the tournament, and get to the school without sleeping. And so that night we stayed up, and we stayed up talking. Now, that night, I think I literally got 30 minutes of sleep in a parking lot gas station between Oklahoma City and Tulsa before I went and spent the whole day at this debate tournament. But it was worth it, because in that time together in our conversations, I was learning her. I was learning her mind, the way she thinks. I was getting to know her. I couldn't get enough time with her. All I wanted to do was to be with her, talking to her, having conversations. And the more I talked to her, the more I knew about her, the more I learned about her, the deeper those conversations went. It was in those conversations that I got to know her mind. Then 10 years later, we still enjoy, to Sable's demise, those kind of conversations as we dive into the depths of knowing one another by hearing from one another. She's still my favorite person to talk to and to know deeper daily. I crave that kind of time to spend with her, to hear her voice, to get her thoughts, her opinions, and to understand her mind. This morning, as we continue through our series, through our church covenant, we're examining the gift that Scripture is. It is in God's word that we have his words. And through his word, we hear from him. We hear his voice, and we know him more. Last week, we kicked off this series going through our church covenant, as we really want to consider what it means with the gospel as the backdrop, what it really means for us, the people who gather at 102 Maple, to be committed to one another in this local assembly in such a way, like wedding vows. We, over a long period of time, in these promises we've made to one another, that we begin to experience the beauty and the gift of these commitments to one another as we live them out daily in the life of our church, as we grow in them, as we press into them consistently for a long period of time. So the intro of our church covenant reads this, and we have a slide for it. This is the gospel as the backdrop in all we do. Believing that we have been renewed by the power of the gospel, having received the grace to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus and to give up our lives to him, and having been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we do now, relying on his merciful help, solemnly and joyfully renew our covenant with one another. Now, our church covenant, it then goes on into five sections, examining what it means because the gospel renews us. How does this impact then our community together? What does it mean for us to be committed together as the saints who gather here in this local assembly? And those sections are these, and we're going over them in 5 weeks. So last week we studied because the gospel renews our hearts. This morning we're in this section because the gospel renews our minds. We'll go on to our relationships, our hands and our feet, and our priorities as we commit to growing in grace and community together. This morning, we are diving into this idea of the renewal of our minds. Because the gospel renews our minds, we commit to being a church that is rooted in the life-giving scriptures. We will pursue Jesus by knowing his mind through devoting ourselves to the study and of obedience to God's word, seeking to take every thought captive that we might be mastered by him. Now, if you have your Bibles, please turn to one of my favorite moments in all of the Old Testament as we look at Nehemiah chapter 8. As we really see the beauty, the gift, the authority, the importance, and the purpose of God's word in the gathering of God's people. To give a little backdrop on where we'll be in Nehemiah 8, while you get to that passage, Israel has just come out of a 70-year exile where they had no place to call their home. They were dispersed as sojourners. They were spread out. They had received God's judgment for their disobedience. And so then here, in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, we see one of the first revivals in history as Israel graciously has been brought back out of exile and back into Jerusalem. Specifically in Nehemiah chapter 8, we get a glimpse into the role of God's word in this historic season of renewal in Israel. The people of God, they gather to receive the word of God. And through the power of the word, their hearts are moved into worship and repentance as they are ultimately led into joy and renewal. The people of God desire to hear from him, to know him, and to follow him. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to start reading Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month, verse 3. And he read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the word of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. And then beside him stood a group of men. And I am chickening out of reading this group of men. Verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen. Lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces on the ground. And then we have more men. And they helped the people understand the law, while the people remained in their places. They read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense, that is, explained it, so that the people would understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed the people, saying, Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went on their way to eat and drink and send portions and to make great rejoicing because they had understood the words that were declared to them. This is the word of the Lord. Now, if you notice in verse 1, we see that the people of God, they gather together. But more importantly, we see what they're gathered around. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. The people of God were gathered to receive the word of God. These people had 70 years of exile, and they were hungry to hear God's words. And as they gathered around the scriptures, they understood that these weren't merely words on a piece of paper. They weren't just words for a thought experiment. They weren't just words so that the speaker, Ezra, could jump off to a different point. But these were, in fact, words from God. These were his words. They were gathered around the word because they knew that through the word, God speaks. They gathered to hear God's words. They wanted to know his mind, to read of his promises, to see his plan for redemption, to see what it means to be his people. They weren't gathered merely to hear from Ezra. They were gathered in anticipation to hear from God. Now, when we gather as a local assembly at 102 Maple, do we gather in anticipation to hear from God through his word? Do we truly understand the gravity of these words in our Bibles, that these have been graciously given to us, and they are indeed his very words? These are God's words, and in the word there is great power. He breathed out these words, and through the power of the word, he moves us. And so Ezra opened the law, that is, the Pentateuch, those first five books of the Bible, and he read them. From it facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women and those who could understand. That is, for the better part of the day, from early morning until midday, that is, for hours, Ezra opened, read, and explained the word of God to the people of God. Listen, this is much like that 24-year-old JT staying up into odd hours in the night who couldn't get enough time in the day with enough hours just to hear Kaylee's voice, to learn about her, to know her. Here we see the people of God just wanted to hear him. They wanted to understand that this sacred book wasn't just words on a page, but they were, in fact, God's words. And in his word, there is life. And I'm convinced that our posture towards receiving the word changes when we begin to truly understand the nature of Scripture. So put a bookmark here and flip with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy is Paul's final inspired letter to his friend Timothy. Timothy is someone that he loved dearly like a son, someone that he discipled, someone he invested everything into. And here at the end of Paul's ministry, we see in this letter, Paul hand the baton to Timothy in this deeply important final encouragement to his friend. And in chapter 3, Paul warns that the days will grow increasingly difficult as the people will grow in being lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Here's the warning. These people will flood the gatherings. They will be with us, but not of us. They will lead out, try to gain influence. They will attempt to teach. They will lead people astray, and they will take advantage of one another. They are always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. I just want to sit there for a moment, because that is sobering. Paul goes on then to make an Old Testament connection and calls such people, those who are corrupted in their mind and disqualified regarding the faith. There are people who will be among the gathering of God's people who do not know God, who do not have renewed minds, but instead corrupted minds, and only look to consume all that or all who they want to. So Paul tells Timothy to avoid such people, but then goes on into verses 10 through 17. And this is what he says, because as we look at that, that's sobering. It's also kind of terrifying. But in verses 10 and 17, as he encourages Timothy to persevere and endure, we see this deep glimpse of the way that God helps us as we cling to him, as we know him, as we seek to be a church that is renewed in our minds. Here we see a really practical, it's like just a few things that really push us to the humility of growing in grace through the renewal of our mind. Here's what he encourages Timothy in verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, that is, Paul's teaching of the good news, that we have been saved by grace through faith in Christ. He says, you have also followed my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, resting in faith alone as our righteousness, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, all fruit of the Spirit, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet, from them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 16, we see the very nature of Scripture. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We don't have time to dive into the depths that are 2 Timothy chapter 3 and also get back to Nehemiah chapter 8. That is, unless we were really willing to commit to that pattern of revival and spend hours together like we saw with Ezra. But here we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see a couple really important observations for us to put into practice in our local gathering as a people with a renewed mind who are really committed to being a church that is rooted in the life-giving scriptures, who pursue Jesus by knowing his mind through devoting ourselves to the study of and obedience to God's word, seeking to take every thought captive that we might be mastered by him. So I want to just look at these because there's three. And then we're going to get into the nature of Scripture. And then it's going to bring together this picture that we see of revival in Nehemiah chapter 8. So here's what we have. In 2 Timothy 3, 10 and 11, in this encouragement, we see the depth of a real discipleship relationship in teaching, but also in modeling and practice. Wouldn't it be sweet if we participated in a biblical version of discipleship like this? Wouldn't it be sweet if we welcomed and also invited that level of discipleship, life on life, real teaching, real modeling, real practice in the everyday rhythms of life, inviting new saints to come alongside us and also seeking out mature saints to walk before us? Very practically, we must pursue being mentored and also mentoring. All right, then we see in 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 15, another really practical response for the church. As we commit to this together, we see the importance of building strong foundations in our children. At C3, we often say that the church is family, not business, and we're committed to one another. This means that we are committed to raising our kids together in the faith. In fact, it is of the utmost importance. Right now, there are 9 to 10 volunteers who are proclaiming the good news to our children. And to be honest, we need more volunteers, even right now, who would teach these foundations of the Word of God to our kiddos. Look at the way that Paul goes back and says to Timothy, from a child, you were acquainted with the sacred writings. Every month, Cody and I, during worship night, we spend time with the kids in worship night. And I told Kaylee last week, it's probably, as a pastor, one of my highlights of the whole month. Because we get to be where our kids are and teach the good news of Jesus to them, build relationships with them, and point them to these foundations that Paul's pointing back to. And then we get to 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17, where we see the very nature of Scripture. We see the gift, the beauty, the role, the importance, the purpose of Scripture in the life of the church. Verse 15, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Scripture must be the authority in the church, the center of our gatherings, because through the Scripture, by the work of the Spirit, we experience the renewal of our minds. Verse 16, all Scripture is breathed out by God. which means these are God's words. And his words are profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. When the people of God gather to receive the word of God, it is by the power of his word, through the ministry of the Spirit, that our hearts are sliced to the core, and we receive and experience conviction, that we are moved into worship, that we are directed to repentance, and it is in that state of humility that we find our strength in the joy of the Lord. These are his words, and so carry great power. As our minds are renewed, let us press into these words. In these words, we find life. Our lives depend on these words from our God. They are his gracious gift to us. As we're confronted by questions of our day, by temptations from our flesh, by the itching of our ears, from deception from our enemy, from movements in our culture, let us be a people who hit our head against these words and work them out in humility and submit to God's word. Let us see that in these words, what it is and what it means to be conformed into the image of Christ, rather than seeking to contort and manipulate these words into our flesh. Let us, with humility, through the study of the word, have our theology built up from the word of God, rather than seeking to take our presuppositions to the word and adjust it to say what we want it to say. Let us be careful to navigate a world full of multidirectional error, idols, and sin by learning the truth that is to be found in his word as we learn more about our God, as we grow in worshiping him, and as we find true joy in him. And this is what happens. This is what we see of the people of God in Nehemiah 8 as they experience a true revival during their covenantal renewal. If you flip back to Nehemiah 8, we're going to see their response then to the word. Those who were gathered, they craved so deeply to know God and to hear from him. After 70 years of exile and drought, they were hungry for his words. And so with great anticipation, as Ezra read the law for hours, the people received the word of God, and they did so attentively. Look at this in verses 3 and 4. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for this purpose. The people of God were attentive to the reading of the word for hours, because they understood that they were hearing directly from God through his word. This is convicting. As we consider our posture and perspective of his word, do we really view God's word as his words? Do we really seek and desire to hear from God through his word? Do we have a proper view of scripture and the authority of these words? Do we see the gift that it is to have God's words accessible to us? Are we hungry to hear from him? Are our ears attentive to him when we gather around the word? Let us be a people who are hungry and attentive to hear from God through his word. And then look at verses 5 and 6, because this is my favorite part. Look at the way the word of God moves the people of God toward God as they hear his words. Remember, this is hours of reading and explaining. In verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, and he was above all the people. And as he opened it all, and the people stood, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and the people answered, amen, amen, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces on the ground. Upon hearing the word of God, they worshiped God, answering amen, lifting up their hands. Alistair Begg likens this picture to a child reaching up to their dad to pick them up. They bowed their heads in humility. They worshiped with their faces on the ground. Now, these are pictures that we're used to seeing, that maybe we even desire to see in musical praise and worship. But in this revival in Nehemiah, this is happening during hours of the reading and teaching of the scriptures. Nehemiah 8, 7 and 8, the Levites, they helped the people to understand the law. While the people remained in their places, they read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense. So the people understood what they were reading. This means they read and they explained it. This is why our church is convicted by expositional preaching. The word of God is at the center of our gathering as the authority. The people in Nehemiah are receiving God's words as the teacher reads from the book and explains it so that the people would understand the reading. And then we see this, as an attentive and a hungry people of God, as they gather around the word, as his word goes out, he awakens the hearts of his saints and moves them into worship, conviction, and joy. Verse 9, and Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. I love this. In response to hearing the word of God, their hearts are moved in conviction. They're weeping and mourning. But look at the way they're directing them. Look at where they're directing them. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law, and he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed the people, saying, be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went on their way to eat and drink and send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. Israel gathered in anticipation to hear from God. They listened attentively, and God moved their hearts into worship. They were convicted and they wept, but then their eyes were lifted up to see God and his promises. Their eyes were lifted up to see what God had done to restore, renew, redeem them. That's all over the Pentateuch. And so his people would, by his word, find their strength in the joy of the Lord. Verse 11, so the Levites calmed all the people, saying, be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went on their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. When the people of God gather to hear the word of God, when they hear from God through the word of God, the word of God is powerful to convict, to teach, to correct, to reprove, to lead us into humble worship as we are being renewed for his glory and for our good. And there is great joy to be found in him because of the good news. As we, Christ Community Church of Denton, seek to hold Scripture in its proper place in our church, we must understand the authority and power that comes from God's words to us. So I'm looking through this in Nehemiah 8. I'm just praying and hoping that we would be a church really where, from a renewed mind, there is a growing hunger to hear from God's word when we gather together and also when we study in private. Let us approach the word of God as the gift it is to us with great anticipation and attentiveness to hear him. And as we hear his voice through his word, let us worship him in spirit and truth. And in our worship, let us ask him to examine our hearts and expose the deepest places of our sin for repentance. But then here's this. Finally, because of the renewing power of his word, let us see the beauty of the gospel from Genesis to Revelation and rejoice together because of what God has done. Let us find our strength in the joy of the Lord. And let us do it as often as we gather together, as often as we're in small groups or big groups or one-on-one. Let us come in anticipation and eagerness and attentiveness to hear from God. Let us seek him where he is and remember what he's done. Let us cling to these words as we seek to live, to know, to be taught. Let us seek to know him as he has spoken to us through his word. Let us see the gift that his word is to us as his church. And let us always anticipate what he does through his word. And let's really commit to that together. Let's really commit to seeking him, to submitting to what he says, for his glory and for our good. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. God, we thank you that you breathe out these words and that through your word we see your good news. God, we thank you that you have called us to be your children. God, that you have called us into your family. God, that you have called us into your kingdom. God, help us see every day the gift your word is to us. Thank you that you've given us your spirit, that we can even understand it. God, thank you for the ministry of your spirit and also the ministry of the church to encourage us, to stir us up, to move us onward and forward. God, we thank you that because of the gospel, you did the work to renew our minds. God, I pray that with these renewed minds, that we wouldn't just seek any and every way to consume all the information of the tickling of the ear and the cultural movements, God, but instead, we seek to navigate carefully as your people, clinging to your word, slicing through, God, the truth, God, seeing the thread that you've pulled through the entirety of Scripture, God. Help us see the gift that it is, God. God, help us. God, in every moment of every day, God, we thank you for our church, for this gathering, God. God, help us be a people that when we gather in anticipation to hear from you. God, and in hearing from you, I pray that we would follow you. God, that we would seek you in every moment of every day. God, we love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.